Welcome back, everybody. It's another Musician's Mastermind on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We've got Kerry, JK, and Joe Freeman here. Today, we're going to talk about assembling your team. Now, even though it's called DIY, that doesn't mean that you're going to literally be doing everything yourself. Doing everything yourself is a fast track to burnout. On today's call, we will discuss the importance of surrounding yourself with a good team who can help you reach your music business goals. Okay, guys, we did a little bit of research on this week, and so we all have a lot of experience with this, so I think this is something that we could probably bring some shed some light on. Who wants to jump in first? And the silence is loud.
But by team, we mean let's just talk about this. By team, we don't just mean like entourage that goes around you if you're on the road that you've full time on your payroll. It's everybody who does something for you.
Exactly, and also I want to make this timely. So there is no on the road right now. So we're going to kind of like so a lot of the resources that you find online talk about somebody an agent, a tour manager, and stuff like that. That is those things are superfluous at the moment. So I don't want to really spend too much time talking about those type of situations. I'm talking about the kind of team that you need. So I broke it down like this. Maybe this will help you guys out. I broke it down a creative team and a business team. And they do crossover. I mean, right, your video editor is a kind of combination business and creative. You know what I mean? So there's some crossover. It's not a hard line drawn. But just to kind of get some handle on what we're talking about. What would be the first thing, Kerry, you would say somebody should be? Say you're an artist. You don't have a band. You're kind of a so-called solo artist.
So what do you have at this point?
Let's make this.
So you're starting out as a solo artist. You don't have a band, but you do have a. Do you have a demo? Do you have an EP? Do you have an album? What do you have?
You have some songs that you're writing. You're recording them. You know, at home. Should you consider? Here's what I'm trying to lead you. I'll give you a hint. Should you consider like a producer? Somebody to help you kind of sort things out and make them sound good.
Okay, let's establish another ground rule here. My approach to hiring anybody, it's two things. They have to be good at what they do, or they just have to be better at doing whatever it is than I am. If they're not better at whatever it is than I am, then I'll probably look for someone who is.
Another good ground rule for this whole conversation is, and we'll just say at the beginning, like, don't hire people till you're ready for them. Okay, no sense in hiring a producer if you haven't written any songs yet.
but that also goes hand in hand with know what they do.
Exactly.
So you should. So whatever it is, you need to be able to do a little bit, so you at least understand what it is. Like, I have a friend who used to. He's been around the world doing. But one of the things he used to do was he was a manager at a restaurant in Bahrain, and the guy who took him under his wing to teach him this, he said one of the first things you do when you come into that restaurant. He said the first thing I did when I took over this restaurant is I went into the kitchen and I learned to cook every dish on the menu, because I want to know. What's going out to the customers? I want to know everything that's gone in there. I need to know the process so then I can maximize the restaurant so that it's going to be efficient and so that everyone in front of the house who orders those dishes, they're going to get it and it's going to be good because I want to know what goes into it. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that he's the best cook there, but he at least needed to know what the process was. And he made it a point of knowing.
So another thing to do before you consider hiring somebody is dabble in it. At least get your fingers a little dirty, messing around with it yourself to get an idea of what it is.
I think that goes in conjunction with the fact when you're first starting anything, you either have more time or money. And when you're first getting involved, you need a certain level of expertise. So measure what you have. You have more time, more money, level of expertise. What do you hate doing and you're just not good at? It's going to be a waste of your time. And therefore, if you have some money to throw at it, make sure you vet everyone you use, meaning you go out and look at what they're actually doing and what they've done for others. Don't just go on their on their website or their testimonials, actually look at what they're doing and make sure they're able to do what they say they're going to do for you.
But also know the level you're at. I mean, I know we sort of steered away from the tour. I know we steered away from the tour manager thing and that because we're not doing live at the moment. But using that example, you do not start out touring arenas, or certainly not touring at the level that you're going to need a tour manager. And what was in the articles we read, initially you're going to be doing much smaller venues, what we've called the toilet circuit, and you do not need a tour manager and all of that to do that. And that is the level where you're learning the ropes and you're learning what the business is. When you hire a tour manager is when you're ready to go a level from that. And if you try to skip up a level too soon, you are going to crash and burn. Because, I mean, this is the same with any business. I mean, like, you could go around and look up so many business failures, and often it's because they just tried to be too big too quickly. They didn't build it up. And it's the same with this. You start when you're starting small, then it's not so bad to be able to dabble in every little bit of it, because early on, you can dabble in every aspect of the business, at least enough to know what's going on. And that's how you know there that, right, now I need somebody who's going to do this bit with me. Now I know somebody who can do this bit with me. And then when you go to that person, you know what it is. Record labels are a great example with this. I've said before that in this day and age, because it's become more artist-centric now and it's not all about record labels, the question isn't now about how do I get signed, it's do I need to get signed yet? And if you go in now thinking straight away from the word go, it's going, I'm going to get signed so someone else will do all the work, before you're ready, then any record label worth the salt will be saying, why haven't you done all the groundwork yourself first? Because that's what's expected. And the ones that don't are probably going to be operating on such a level that you could have... In Zeitgeist Zero, we had deals on the table, but then when we looked at them, we realised they weren't actually doing anything we weren't already doing ourselves, except taking a huge percentage of the proceeds. So at that point, we're thinking, well, when somebody puts a deal on the table where they actually can get us somewhere we couldn't get otherwise, that's the day we get signed. But right here, right now, they need to be doing better than we are. And you don't know that until you've rolled up your sleeves and you've gone in there. And early on, with anything, and a lot of people forget this, the first couple of years of anything you set out to do is when you make your mistakes. And you're going to make those mistakes whether you've hired other people or not. And the good people around there will be able to sort of tell you where they are. So you need to give yourself the chance to be making those mistakes, learning from them, and then acting on it with the right people will bring it in. You don't really want to be sort of like aiming for a level where it's going to torpedo you. We're talking about the sort of mistakes where that get you ignored, maybe.
What I think we can do here is make this a little bit more basic. I think when I'm talking about what I'm thinking when I think of team, the first thing I think of is just maybe somebody to handle, take a few small things off your plate, not somebody to completely do the whole thing for you and you just sit back and act like a rock star. So I think, and I've done this in the past, and I know other people have as well, is if you teach lessons, sometimes the first team members will be students that, you know, hey, you know, you want a couple free lessons this week? I need you to... whatever, fill in the blank, you know, come up with, you know, a couple of interesting Facebook posts or, you know how to edit these photos, you know, can you edit these photos for me or whatever. You know, just in a small kind of way, get used to, and Joe, I know you've had a lot of experience with this with folks in the Philippines and stuff like that, but getting used to giving people direction and instructions. So I think that the way to ease yourself into bringing any kind of team, because also you don't know, because, you know, and I've seen this happen. I'm thinking of a guy I know offhand who was very, very successful music teacher, and he's had a few students that he just, like, they didn't know a lot when they start, but he saw them every week because he was giving them guitar lessons, and he started having them do little things, and they've become like really integral folks in his business. And he has a, you know, 6-7 figure a year teaching business. And he just brought these kids up slowly, you know, give them little things to do, do this, then this, run this errand for me, get this for me, take care of this, just slowly over time, and got used to knowing what they could do, knowing what they could, figure out what they had to learn. No, I didn't give good enough instructions here, Joe. You know what that's about. You know, when you're not detailed enough, mm-hmm. when you're talking to somebody. So I think the first place you might be thinking about building a team would be in that sphere. Look at something that you know that has to get done. Maybe you suck at, don't like doing, whatever, and see, do you have somebody around you? It's, you know, a guitar student, music student of some kind. Maybe if it's a band, maybe there's somebody who's close to the band or really likes the band. I don't know. Maybe it's a child of somebody, or maybe it's a spouse or a friend or something like that. And start handing off little things for them to do and see how it works. A lot of times you can get folks to do stuff for you for free or for exchange for things like lessons and stuff like that. So it doesn't have to cost you a lot of money. So just start asking people in your circle, you know, make sure you know them. You probably know somebody who's good at a few different things that could be helpful to you. And this, I would say, is the first way to kind of get your feet wet with a team. What do you think about that, Joe?
So when you go into that, mostly when I've dealt with that, it's either been like, answering and interacting with people in a Facebook group, doing social media posts, doing copy here and there, doing, coming up with creative ideas, doing a little bit of design work, those type of things, a little bit of digital marketing stuff that you can break. Digital marketing, there's all kinds of little intricate pieces you can break down and give to someone. And it comes down to, as you develop your circle of influence, so whether it be your students, other people in a mastermind or group that you're in, you are hiring out in the Philippines and you're using one of the sites that are out there, or you know, maybe you started doing it and people are reaching out to you, which you need to know a basic level at least of what you're doing, and then you need to give them as much as you can to tell them, okay, I need you to do this, and see where they run with it. If they run with it and they way surpass what you even imagined, then you want to hold on to them. And you know, just realize that every relationship you build in that way, though, there's going to be times when they don't do exactly what you thought, because sometimes you don't know exactly what you want. And sometimes you do, and you've got to figure out the communication. So I've over given details to where it took me 2 times the amount of time to do a piece because I was giving so much detail. But if that allows the person you're working with to learn and eventually they can take it over without as much detail, that's great. If it doesn't, then that's a problem because you're trying to save yourself time.
Be prepared, though, in any case, at the level, we're talking to indie musicians. We're not talking to, quote unquote, signed artists or, you know, big time rock stars or whatever. You're going to have to be prepared to work with this. You're going to be prepared to give detailed instructions. Be prepared to be involved. This is not, we're not talking about, okay, get signed and then, you know, I can just coast. I can just chill by the pool all day and drink, Mai Tais and, you know, be a rock star. That's not what the team does for you. Okay. The team is designed to fill in the gaps on your lack of time, energy, and skill. There's a lot of stuff you do not know how to do. And there's a lot of stuff I would tell you do not do. Do not design a website. Don't do it. Just don't waste. Ask your team, ask your folks, ask people around you. Maybe you got somebody's got a kid who's like good, you know, with code or whatever and likes to do stuff like that. And, you know, you could buy him a gift card and he'll, get your website up and running for you. I mean, like, I'm not talking about going out and hunking down thousands of dollars for top industry professionals or anything like that. We're talking about starting to build those folks around you, because those people that are already doing that, they don't need to hear this podcast. The people who need to hear this podcast are the people who are trying to do everything themselves and drive themselves crazy. And so it comes down to asking yourself a lot of questions and then being prepared. This doesn't mean you're not going to be involved. It means you're going to be websites. Talking. Yeah, you're going to have your hands in there.
I design my websites, but that's because it's part of the aesthetic process. And sometimes when I'm putting a project together, the process of building the website will be part of how I'm finalizing what I'm actually going to be putting out.
You're different than me. What I would might do is draw it on a piece of paper and send it to you and say, well, this is kind of what I want to see. But to sit down and drag and put this here and drop it there, I don't have the patience to do stuff like that. And anything you've ever done for me, Carrie, has been way better than I could have done myself, my friend. I can tell you that. Same way with Joe.
I would say, though, that I've worked with quite a few different agencies trying to help them with their clients. And when it comes to building a website or any marketing whatsoever, I like what Lou just said there about asking questions, because we really need to know, like, who you are, what you're about, what do you stand for, what don't you stand for, what your copy is going to be about. I believe that the copy and your persona, like, as a musician, you build a persona for yourself. You build a character, you build, you know, a theme or a message in your music. If you can't portray that, or don't have anything for us to look at to see that in what you've already done, then your website's not going to be everything it could be.
Yeah.
Or it's going to take us super longer to figure that out for you. And therefore, it's probably going to cost you more. Well, so I like the idea of asking questions. Well, you should be asking yourself questions about those things. Who are you? What do you stand for?
We've done podcasts on that. I'm going to just give you guys some of my experience with this. Like, I hired Joe several months ago, and I'm just in a little different position than a lot of you guys out there. I have some income that I can use for stuff like this. And it was, right, Joe? It was like the first, few months at least, was you getting to know me, getting to know my brand, getting to know what I wanted to do, who I was, getting to know this business. And so be prepared for stuff like, to deal with stuff like that when you're hiring people, because you may have, like, you may know somebody who's an awesome copywriter, but maybe they don't know music, or you may know somebody who's, pick whatever, great with social media or whatever, but then maybe they don't understand your brand. So there's going to be that period of getting, now you can find people that are in your niche and are already doing this. So a way around this might be, and I'm just going to toss this out, is look at some of your friends who are in your niche. And if you love their website, or you think that their funnel is just absolutely killer, ask them who did it. And if they did it themselves, maybe because you're a fellow musician, you know, they'd like to make a couple extra bucks on the side, and they would be willing to work with you for a good price. Or maybe you could exchange gigs, or you could do something like that. So, you know, it isn't all about just going out and hiring. The reason I hired Joe is because Joe and I are in a mastermind together, a different one than this. And he really impressed me with his knowledge of funnels. So he was the guy I know, like, and trust. So I felt like I could trust him. I felt like I see him all the time. And so I didn't feel like it was somebody who's going to, like, vanish on me. So this is another point of hiring people is, you know, is the person reliable? Whatever you're going to have them do, it doesn't make, they can be the greatest publicist in the world, but if they don't have time for you, or if they're sick every other week, or, you know, whatever their family situation is too distracting, and they can't, then it doesn't matter. You know, we all have had that situation where we've been in either worked in a company or worked for a business or owned a business where, you know, there's an employee who maybe does a great job, but they never show up to work on time. You know, it's stuff like that. Like, that's not, it doesn't matter then. They become kind of, they're kind of canceling themselves out.
So if you're not there, you're no good to anyone.
Yeah. So reliability is really important, whether it is somebody who's just running errands for you or somebody who is designing your website or somebody like Joe, who's a master at copywriting and funnels. You know, make sure that they are, you know, if you got a question, they can answer it. They're available, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the things when I sort of looked at sort of five people per hour in these sites. One of the things with many of those sites there, and what makes us so fiercely competitive, is that accessibility is one of the main selling points that a lot of them will have. Is that if you go to them with a job, then they will sort of they'll drop everything to do it within 24 hours, and that will be. And when I looked at that with some of my things, I thought, well, I know I can't commit to that because I've got other stuff I can't do. So there's a lot of people there who will prioritize things to that degree. I don't know if they actually come through with it when you test them on it.
Here's the thing, and we've mentioned Fiverr before. Fiverr, Upwork, there's a bunch of sites like that online. Listen, here's the thing. You're going to try people. You're going to go through people. I have a brick and mortar business, and we are, you know, there used to be slow to hire, fast to fire. Now I hire and fire like it's going out of style. Joe, you know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, right?
Yeah.
Well, he talks about this. He's like, I'll hire anybody. He says, but I also fire people very, very quickly. He says, because the only way you're going to know if somebody's going to work sometimes is if you give them a quick try. And that's the thing I do like about Fiverr is you could try somebody out super low cost and see like what they're like. And if they suck, you don't have to hire them again. It cost you $15, $20, $25 to do some little thing. Try them out for something small. And if they feel like they come through, you can give them something a little bit better. If they screw up, fire them and get the next person. Because the people on Fiverr are hungry. They are trying, especially right now, they're all really trying to please. So it's a buyer's market for stuff like that, but you got to try people out, Carrie. You're going to get total flakes and, you know, morons. And you're also, there are good folks out there that are reliable and will show up and do what you want, but you just got to find them. So that's another thing. Be patient, guys. If you're hiring people, you're looking to do this, like, you know, one artist, you know, that you hired to design the artwork for your song might be like an idiot. And, you know, I had a guy do this, and this was somebody who was a member of my inner circle who, you know, I paid and never came through with anything. But I found a guy in Fiverr, a total stranger from another country, and he designed a really badass artwork for my last song, Acid Queen. He did a great job. You know, we went back and forth, boom, boom, boom. In about 3 days, we had the whole thing hammered out.
And that's another one as well, where you gave that guy some real direct. So I remember we did that together.
Yeah.
You had the concepts, and I think I got my little whiteboard out and I sketched it out. And then so that was something where you went in giving that guy some serious direction.
That is exactly what you wanted. Very important. No. What's the song by Joe Jackson? You can't get what you want till you know what you want. So you got to know exactly what you, some of these people you really got to know. Don't expect people to suss it out for you. That's what you're. So let's talk about teams. Let's move on from people you're directly hiring. One of the things I have on my list are mentors and coaches. And I would also add masterminds to this, because having a coach or a mentor or being a part of a mastermind allows you to bring these ideas out, and the team, your friends in the mastermind or your coach, can like help you sort it out, so that when you go to that guy on Fiverr, like I did, Carrie helped me, it was much easier because we knew what we were talking about right off the bat, instead of just kind of like really being, because sometimes you can't get a handle on things yourself. What would you guys say to coaches, mentors, and masterminds?
You need someone to keep you out of your own ass.
If you can get them to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to guess, man.
You got to vet your coaches and your masterminds just as much as you would anyone doing work for you. You go in there, you mix it up with the people, you try to get as much as you can out of it. If you're looking for accountability and you're looking for someone to actually work with you, then you know, you've got to go in there with that mindset and let the coach know that, hey, you know, this is what I'm looking for. Is this what you can provide, type of thing? Because just like Lou said with the artist, and I said with, you know, people from the Philippines and everything else, you need to know what you want before you go into every situation. So if you go into that mastermind, you're going to meet different people. They're going to become part of your circle of influence, and you're going to get a lot out of it, but you need to know what you want to get out of it. And you need to let them know that.
Yeah,
and, you know, also, I guess I should reframe that. When you're going into a mastermind and a coaching situation, you're also providing as well. It's not all about what you're going to get. You're also providing a lot of value. And you're learning, like me, myself, I learned what value I had by going into a mastermind. I didn't realize the value I had to give.
I think that it is something that you have to consider. In fact, if I was to start somebody with something, you know, I would say look into coaching and or some sort of mastermind, because that way you can get that feedback and you can get your ideas kind of like a little bit more together in your head before you go and hire an artist because the mastermind is going to help you know, like, oh, well, what's the purpose of doing this video? I don't know. I just want to do a video. Well, why are you doing a video? And then you go through this whole process. They'll question you over if they're good. They'll want to, you know, they'll make you think about, like, okay, well, what's the market? Like, who are you trying to attract with this video? What are you trying to do? So now I know, because I thought about all the stuff, and these guys like kind of like held my feet to the fire and, you know, put me under the gun to make me really kind of like we all worked it out. Now when I call a videographer up, I say I want to do this kind of video in this kind of location because I know what my brand is. I know what my target market is. I know what I want to communicate. I know what the song is about. I know how I want it to all kind of like come together. So that's the kind of thing like a good mentor or mastermind can help you do. So you waste less on, you know, down the road with the videographer, the video editor, the artist, whatever, even the band and the producer. I mean, that's why we do this as well.
This is how you avoid ending up with a website, with a Shutterstock website, with the stock images, or a guy who goes onto a stock logo site to do your bespoke logo. You don't get that if you go in with knowing exactly what it is you want.
I want to talk a little bit about using content. My opinion is that the content really needs to be as much as possible with the creator, with you, the business owner.
By content,
owner.
You mean assets,
assets. Okay, for instance, I think you should, while you might use a copywriter to clean up your blog a little bit, I think that you need to write your blog. Does that, you know, that stuff like that. Like, I think that you, because I think it needs to be in your voice. I think it needs to be what you want to say about the subject. I mean, even if you're, you know, you don't like to write, so you pick up your cell phone and you dictate your blog and you send it to a copywriter who can, like, you know, make sure that the spelling is right, but still keep your voice and do the whole thing. You know, so I think that stuff like that kind of needs to stay with you, right? What do you guys think, right? You wouldn't. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree. And the reason why I agree is because that's, not only is it, like I said it before, your persona, what you stand for, what you don't stand for, you have your own vision on things and you're your own person. And the hardest thing for me to do as a marketer and as a designer is to write copy without any kind of knowing what you're about. And if you get in there and at least start like chewing out your copy and getting it to a certain point, you could always give me pieces. And maybe you're like, hey, I'm going to write a blog on this topic, and I saw this, so this is my opinion on it, and then I saw that, and that's my opinion on it, and here's what I got, but I can't totally finish an article. At least that gives me something to work on. Otherwise, I'm creating your character. Like, I'm totally Like, I don't know if what I'm writing is who you are or what you're about at all. I'm just doing the best I can. You know what I mean? So that's why, you know, a lot of marketers, and you guys being musicians, you have to be marketers, okay? Mm. You've got to be able to present that character, that persona, what you stand for. And that's why most marketers, they'll do like a podcast or, you know, or a webinar over and over and over and over again to find their voice. Once you find your voice, though, and you've done it for a while, if it's on a specific topic or a specific end goal, then your marketer can come in and help you because they can listen to it. They can start writing a little bit in your voice and help you out there. But you really need to do the groundwork and build yourself up to a certain level of in your copy and in your content. So we know what.
And I think a lot of that can be done by just what Joe said, just presenting or just find a low risk audience. Like a, you know what I mean? So like, and I'm just going to go back to this. We talked about so many times, like a Facebook group with people who you brought in, who you know, or you're comfortable with, you like, whatever, they like you, and maybe start doing a weekly or daily, you know, little 5 minute, 10 minute something, play a song, talk to the audience for a little bit, get your groove, figure out who you are. And then I think that your copy and everything will sort of flow. And then you have something to show. So if you do hire somebody like Joe to do stuff for you, he's got a good library of things that he can look at and go, okay, I know what this person is doing. I see what their approach is. I see where they're coming from. This makes a lot more sense. Okay, I can sort of – now I can put this in – you know, and I can find the key stuff and the key words, and I can find the phrases and stuff that are going to, you know, tweak people. And that's what a good copywriter will do. Another thing I want to mention just very quickly is list management. And this is something that, again, I think that you should write the emails. But in terms of understanding all the nuances of ActiveCampaign or Infusionsoft or whatever it is that you like to use, I really think that there are people out, because these programs have become so nuanced and you can do so much with them. Somebody that really understands this stuff can do it, can like really tease out way better results out of that list than you can on your own. This is something I've learned in the beginning. You know, we all had MailChimp, whatever, and it was just send out the mail. But it's become a thing now where if they take this action, then they get this email. If they take that action, they get this email. Things are being kind of looped around. People are being tagged to be retargeted to a week later. I don't believe that you should be too caught up in the technical aspect of that. If you're working with somebody who's helping with your list management, you need to have a conversation. I want folks who didn't respond to this offer to be retargeted, in 3 days. If people who do respond to this offer, here's the next piece, Joe, I want them to see. And we could, you know, see, you're still involved. It isn't like just coasting.
The best person to help with something like that, like when I coach other coaches or I coach someone who's a mastermind leader or something, I always tell them, keep the message with you, you know, if you can. Like if you're writing a message in your email, so forth and so on, do that. Then have an overview of your overall marketing structure. So like, I have an authority website here, which would be your band website. And then I have a couple CD promotion funnels that I'm doing. Maybe I have a gig funnel. I know that when someone goes here, they could go here or here. So have that all mapped out visually and know like, okay, I know this is what's going on in my business, but I don't have to build it. I get Joe to do the click funnels, funnel building. And I have a guy who does all my ActiveCampaign stuff. And I have a guy that does all my ManyChat stuff. And if I want to add a message because I just came out with a new song in the ManyChat to get them to go to a new funnel, then I contact my ManyChat guy and then contact the funnel guy. And I make sure they're communicating or I control that communication. You don't need to know the structure of all these things and what's changing and what's going on there. You need to know the overall strategy of your business, the overall structure and process of your business. And then you need to get deep with relationships and content. Okay? Now, some of the minor relationship communication you can have someone else do if you have someone you really trust who's been in like your inner circle or your Facebook group for a long time. And then you're like, hey, I'm going to pay this person to just share information, facts, things they've seen in the group that's already in the group. But when it's like one-on-one, you know, that level of communication with the musician, which, you know, you'd be the business owner in that case, that should be done by you. Does that make sense?
I agree with, I pretty much completely agree with that. Absolutely. What did you say? You said the content and the relationships, because people want to know that they're talking to you. I mean, if you're using the chat, like we're using ManyChat, so yeah, we make it very clear from the beginning that they're not, you know, they've entered into a sort of automated thing. And at any time they can ask to speak to somebody. So that's how we handle it. I think that there's a time and a place for that. So Joe rattled off a few things, like a funnel expert, somebody's expert with you know, the actual email platform that you're going to use, and then possibly having somebody who's like maybe a super fan or a student or somebody who can maybe occasionally help you in managing social media. I mean, I have somebody, my assistant from the Philippines, like he manages the social media stuff, but it's what we post is all sort of just fun kind of stuff. I'm not posting uber personal things most of the time, and I have my personal reasons for wanting to do it that way. It's what I call conversation starter kind of posts, you know, stuff like that. So I think that has worked great for us. We get tons and tons and tons of interaction. It's just a matter. The devil's in the details. Is exactly what you're doing does matter. Another thing that is a partner for you, a part of, should be part of your team at some point. Like it's this all goes back to what Carrie said at the beginning. Like, are you ready? You know, who you should hire depends on where you are and what you're doing. Those are great questions. But at some point, once you do start putting out music and having merchandise and stuff like that, you're going to think about merchandise fulfillment. So there's different components to that. You know, right now for me personally, we're using like DigiJam and some stuff like that, just to kind of like, it's just print on demand. It's
still using DigiJam.
It's still there. I never got rid of it. I never tossed it. And what's the other one we're using?
I don't know if DigiJam used DigiJam these days.
Who else were we? What's the other one we were using?
I don't know. I think last time we did something. I think we ended up going through
Printful.
Who did we go through?
Printful.
Well, because they're like middlemen. They're to, like, put you in touch with. But it's great to work with because there's these companies that then like aggregate different printers around them. And the great advantage of something like that is it means you can go international. And if you're online, you are international.
Yeah.
So that if somebody orders one of your shirts from the US and someone else orders one from the UK and someone else does in Holland, then you can get that fulfilled by the printer as close as possible to where they are. That means that you're not paying, that you don't have to charge them the same shipping. They're going to get quicker.
Yeah.
The only problem is they won't all have the same base product. So there might be compromise there. But at least then, and the other thing it also means then is that if you've got something in your shop that you want to sell, and then you get a better deal on producing it, you can just change whoever's fulfilling it without the customer ever being any the wiser.
Absolutely. There's so much great stuff out there in terms of that, but that is part, something that needs to be part of your team at some point, is to have merchandise fulfilled, you know. And there is the light version with Printful and these sort of things where you're kind of like managing it. Maybe you're managing, or maybe you have a VA. This is something that maybe you're a student or a friend or whatever that you give a few dollars to or help out, you know, sort of handles for you. Or, you know, you start to, if you find you're really growing, then you go the Leah direction and you get a full like Shopify store. And that is another version of a sort of partner that you're going to be working with. It's a big company, et cetera. However, There's time for that. So you have to see where you are. So, and maybe in the beginning, the t-shirts or somebody sends you an email and you send them a t-shirt. Maybe that's how it works in the very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. But looking at these, I think that the merchandise fulfillment and it's printable. I'm sorry, not did you jam. Mm-hmm. I think looking into that is also makes a lot of economic sense for indie musicians because you don't have to have 100 t-shirts in your basement that you may or may never sell. Mm. You know.
And the time to get it is when the world stopped ending, we're back out on the road again. That's when
the apocalypse
you're gonna need a box
is
of
over
shirts
and we all come out of our holes.
Yeah. I've got to say, actually, something else I've been doing lately, Under Another Guise. I put a book out on Amazon recently, and it was really just to like, sort of get used to the process more than actually sell the book. But I was actually quite impressed with the way that worked. I've been trying it with a few book publishers as well. And out of all of them, there's so many things that can go wrong with that. Like little things, because like I use LibreOffice and it will mess up the page numbering if you're not careful. And it took me ages just to stop it messing, just to get the page numbering right through this book. You think that would be an easy thing. And there's so many little things like that that you'll end up tearing your hair out over. So that's the sort of thing you might farm out to somebody who knows what they're doing. But on the other hand, having done that now, I sort of feel like better process. I feel like I'm in the best situation to do it next time. But something like that, what I found with Amazon, for example, with the books, is like I thought, right, I can get that up there now and people can sell it. But also, I now know how to get them at print costs, so then I can take them out. And that's actually better than... This is something I had against Amazon before, was that to get to... There was just no profit margin in there. They seem to actually address that with some of these things. What used to be CreateSpace is now Kindle Direct Publishing. And it sounds like this is the sponsor's message, but it's not.
I
suggest a lot of people use Amazon for their books.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did too. I did CreateSpace about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I did a book.
I wasn't a fan of CreateSpace, but I am a fan of KDF.
It was very cumbersome.
Hey, Robert.
If you're not a cumbersome designer, though, I wouldn't suggest anyone sit there and lay out their book and, you know, get all the page numbering right, get all the headers and footers right, lay out the ads in the book, you know, for whatever the book's end goal is, or any of that. The cover, design the cover, that you guys, you know, unless you're a designer and you enjoy that and you're good at it, then give that to someone else because that's not going to spend a lot of time. But writing the book itself is really something you should do. And then putting it up on Amazon and stuff like that, you can get other people to do that as well. I don't think it's really that hard, but if you know, it all depends on how much time you have. For every business, everything you add to your business, whether it's an album, a book, whatever it is, it adds a level of complexity and multiple steps that have to be done. When you're getting ready to do that step, ask yourself, like, is this going to take, you know, a few hours? Is this going to, you know, how long is this going to take? What are my resources and should I be doing this right now? You know, is there someone I can get to do this for very cheap?
Yep.
And is it going to take away from my next song or my next album?
Some folks, Carrie, you are incredibly curious person. Mm. You're always trying to learn new things. So I commend you on that. I would not have the patience for that, my friend.
Yeah. That's probably to my detriment, actually, that I spent that. It's like I've always heard about sort of people who sort of always want to learn the next step rather than it also feels then that like the thing you've produced, you don't feel is good enough. So you're not really like pushing it as you should because like you think, oh, I need to make it better first. So you're always like sort of trying to go for that next step. And
you talking to me, Carrie?
I think just generally, but having done that, the instantly, right. Actually, maybe I should actually sort of try and sort of sell the shit I've got first before I do the next one.
Yeah. You got people out there who want to know every little detail and they want it to be perfect before it goes out. Mm. And then, you know, you got people just want it done. And, you know, there's a mix between what is going to benefit you the most. Mm. And so find those people who have already figured that stuff out if you don't want to do it. If you want to do it, I guess do it, but ask yourself, what is that taking you away from doing?
I think the other thing is, we've always, we've seen sort of people as well who've had massive reach and who've done really good selling. And then you look at the product and there's like little errors left and right and things you think, I'd never want to put my name to that. But then you realize that they kind of know what's important. And they know that no one actually gives a shit about those little details. What they give a shit about is that it's out there and they can buy it.
I got to tell you something, guys. I'm so glad you brought that up because this is something I'm learning with YouTube. I've been very hit or miss with YouTube because I look at some of my YouTube heroes and their videos look so good. I mean, I can't figure out how, you know, half of what they're doing just from the technical aspect of doing the video. And I get very, very overwhelmed. And then there's a couple other guys I follow whose videos are way produced, way, 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 way less. Mm. And they have just as big followings. And so it gets to the heart of what is your audience really, really about? You know what I mean? They may put up with, they may not care as much about all the little tricky editing that you're doing and stuff like that. Can they hear and see you? Are you giving content that they find interesting? And that's it. So if you have a weird, you know, font or something like on the screen to like, or your dissolves or whatever are cheesy, or, you know, mm-hmm. because the guy I'm thinking off the top of my head, I was looking at his videos, the guy I follow, and his like intro and stuff like that really like look really like 2002, like really like cheesy stuff, but he's got a huge following. So apparently that doesn't matter. And I also wanted to add one more thing before we wrap up today. I heard an interview this morning with Scott Adams. And those of you who don't know Scott Adams, he's the guy that writes
Dilbert.
And yeah. He wrote a book about something to the effect that how to fail over and over but still be a success or something like that. I'm saying that wrong. But yeah. In the interview, he was saying that what's more important is not to be like some amazing this or that. You know, he's like, I'm not the greatest cartoonist. I'm not the greatest writer. He says, but I know enough about several subjects that I was able to cobble that together to make something out of what I do. And I think that is really great advice for anybody in business, but especially for musicians. You don't have to be the greatest guitarist. You don't have to be the greatest singer, the greatest producer, the greatest songwriter. But do you know enough about those things that you can like communicate to people, that you can maybe touch people? And that's really, even if it's wonky, even if your camera's crooked, you know, stuff like that. I think that gets to the bigger picture. I'm really glad that you brought that up, because sometimes we are focused. We just got a wild hair up our ass about, like I have, about YouTube. Like, it's gotta, like, I don't want to do it if it doesn't look like a Scorsese production. You know what I mean? And that's just stupid.
So I heard someone say this in business, and let me try to translate it into music. Whoever you're working with, okay, if you're working with indie musicians who are just starting out and you're trying to teach them something, let's say like Lou has his guitar and voice coaching and we have this mastermind, wherever they're at, as long as you're like, you know, a few steps ahead of them, you can help teach them and bring yourselves up together. Okay, so if Lou goes out and he produces this high-end video with a studio and, you know, all these effects and stuff going on, and there's someone who's just starting out in music, like Lou just said with his YouTube heroes, it's actually going to turn the beginning indie artist off, because they're like, well, I can't achieve that video. Like, I can't do all those high end effects. I don't have a studio. I can't do that. Therefore, I'm not going to follow Lou, because I just know that I'm not looking to do that right now. I'm looking to be able to create a song. I'm looking to up my vocals. I'm looking to do these things, not be like a high-end video producer and that kind of stuff. So, you know, sometimes you don't need that, is what I'm saying. And you'll turn your audience off because they're trying to be you or what they see you as being. And putting you on a pedestal that makes you out of reach for them.
I heard somebody talk about this on one of the many books I read on marketing. It might have been a Dan Kennedy book or something, but the guy was specifically talking about Carrie. Don't. I hope you don't get upset. He was talking about Donald Trump and Bob Kiyosaki in their real estate coaching that they've done. There's a lot of people that forget that these guys were big in real estate, and that what the guy in the book was saying was like, yeah, that's cool, but you're just starting out in real estate. Find the guy that's the rock star in your town in real estate and learn from him. Get started there. Don't worry about Bob Kiyosaki, who's selling, multi-million-dollar hotels in Hawaii or whatever he's doing. Because you're not like, that's just going to like, that's great to maybe kind of, put on your vision board. But, right now, today, you want to be able to flip that house. So find guys that you can relate to that will help you get there, and then you can worry about what you want to do down the road. So I think it's a good idea that sometimes like this over perfection that we try to do is really, really kind of can actually turn people off.
Well, that goes back to what we were saying before, that we're not in the same business as Taylor Swift.
No.
Boom goes the dynamite. Quote of the day from Carrie: we're not in the same business as Taylor Swift.
Just get started, and when you run into a roadblock, decide, do I need to learn this, or is there someone in my circle or someone I can go to a website to help me with this for fairly cheap that would save me time?
And don't be afraid, guys. I always put the link to our mastermind. Right now it's free to link to our mastermind, and you can always ask questions in there, and you're going to get, honest, straight up help. People will say, nah, that's something you might want to talk to a professional about. Or they may say, no. All you got to do is these three things and you can get it done yourself or whatever. That's the importance of having folks like me and Carrie and Joe and all the different people in the group around you is, chances are one of us has been through it. So don't forget, having good people around you to kind of like bounce these things off of. You could just simply be looking at it wrong or taking it too seriously or not taking it serious enough. That's a great way to. That's like, I think my opinion, my final word on it is like, if you got to start somewhere, get into some kind of mentoring mastermind or coaching or something like that to don't be afraid to try different ones. I've tried everybody. I've literally tried everybody.
Yeah. And have somebody in your team that can kick your ass.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. A mastermind group, it should be kind of like a friendly, sort of challenging, friendly kind of competition, motivational, make you feel like, oh, I think I could, I want to, wow, look what he's doing over there. I think I could do that. Or, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to show up this week to the meeting and not have anything done. Right, Joe? That's how we go with Becky and everything. So they're important things to consider. That's my final word on it. Joe, anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
Yeah, I'd say, that's what we're trying to achieve here. Like, we'd love for a few members to come on every once in a while and ask us questions. We have a diverse, circle of influence. We have a diverse experience level between all of us, and we're very open about saying what that is. And also, if you can't or come on, then don't be afraid in the comments or whatever. If any of you call me, Carrie, or Lou out to answer something, I'm sure we'll answer it as soon as we see it. It's not, we're not going to do it within an hour, but once we see it, I'm sure that's what we're here for, guys. Yep. We're here to help. And the more you guys interact, the better this all becomes, actually.
Absolutely. And Carrie, any final thoughts other than we're not in the same business as Taylor Swift?
I think we're there. Basically what we said is everyone you work with, know what they do. Have somebody who will make you put your ideas up. Always keep moving forward and then expand as you go.
And Carrie, how do people find you again?
KJKmusic.co.uk.
And Joe?
LouLombardiRocks.com. Just go to the bot and say my name.
Say my name. And you can as well, LouLombardiRocks.com. You've been listening to another Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Musicians Mastermind. Guys, it was a great talk today, and I hope you got a lot out of it. Feel free to drop those questions in the group. I always put the link in the notes, so it's always there on Podbean and YouTube and all the places where we post the podcast. So, all right, guys, have a great week. We'll catch you next time.